The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, confidant, my sweet ass witchy stars, the universe confidant. I'm Kelsey Darrow, the host of Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we are absolutely sure we don't know everything. And this is a subject that I just like cannot get enough of. We've been posting a little bit about it. I've been implementing this into my daily routine, my life. And just like the universe and stars would like us to have good things in our life, it has brought me this week's guest, Aliza Kelly, is here with us today. Aliza is the host of the podcast Stars Like Us. She's also a Lore's resident astrologer and contributor, which is amazing. And
you have a Cosmopolitan.
Oh, it's Cosmo?
Yes, yes. I was with Allure a few years ago, and then I switched. It wasn't like an issue, but I just started doing that with Cosmo.
Allure fully has it as like 2021 articles.
I know.
I went
they
through
are,
and read
all. Still my writing, but it's just they keep changing the dates on them.
Well, good to know, bitch. We're going to Cosmo instead. And you've got an upcoming book, This Is Your Destiny. And Aliza, I got something to tell you. I didn't tell you before we started recording because I didn't want to like gas you up too much without hitting record. Bitch, I already have your book. I have this book and your other book.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
The thinner one. And I was looking for it. And then I realized it's on my fucking nightstand because that's how much I use it. And I had your books. And they're so stunning. So you already have The Mixology of Astrology. And the other one is more of like a teaching you how to, it's like your journey. What's the name of it? Remind me.
It's called Starring You.
Starring You. Guided
Yeah. Wow. That's so cool.
And I was like yesterday writing on my questions. I was like, God, something is telling me that I need to like look into this a little deeper than my regular like guest research. And then I was like, oh my God, I've had your books for years already. How
that is so cool. I love that. And I have a little expression that I say called tank, which means there are no coincidences. So I would say that that is a tank.
100%. Okay. Well, needless to say, I am so excited to dive into this with you. You've got a new book coming out. I want to touch on that first because I released a book and it was the most life-changing, crazy experience. And you're about to release, is this your third book?
It is. Yeah.
Tell me, what is This Is Your Destiny?
Well, This Is Your Destiny is like, it's a real person. As you know, in writing a book, I mean, like the amount of times that I have like been like, I really understand what Jack Torrance from The Shining felt like when he was just trying to get some peace and quiet writing his book is like very disturbing. You know, like writing a book is really an intense process. 100%. And this book was always going to be intense because the entire origin of it was like, okay, I've been doing this work for 10 years. How do I synthesize it both for myself and what I've gone through and how I have used these techniques to change my life, but also through the thousands of clients that I've worked with? What are these like universal truths that I've been able to extract and how am I going to write about it? And that was before COVID. Ooh. And then like, it just so happened that I'm supposed to be my book first draft was supposed to be due in March, at the end of March. And March 2020. And it was like, I don't want to write this book anymore. I mean, they're in the middle of a pandemic. I'm in New York City. Like all I hear is sirens all the time. Like the world feels like it's changing. It's so uncertain. I have no idea what's going to come.
Yeah.
So I ended up rewriting the entire thing like a maniac. Yeah.
That is insane. I will say that is absolutely batshit crazy.
Yes. And the introduction is about that. It's about writing a book during a pandemic.
Right.
And
I'm familiar.
The very weird. Yeah. The very weird process that is.
Yeah.
But I'm really grateful with the sort of internal reflection that I did, and the sort of allowing the truth of where we are in space and time to inform the way that I wanted to structure the book, because fundamentally it's still a book about my journey and a book about the journeys of my clients and how astrology is a tool for manifestation. But it also is aware of the fact that, you know, life is really variable. There's like a lot of crazy, unexpected things that can happen. Yeah. So how can we also work with and not work with astrology through that process?
Oh, I love that. So what I love about the mixology of astrology is I had never like considered my personality traits, likes, wants, dislikes, when it came to drinks to my personality or to my zodiac sign. And then I was reading this for Leo and I was just like, she gets it. Like, let me pull up. Let me see. I've got so many bookmarked for like when people come over or like people in my life to make. Oh, here we go. Gemini. We're getting close. Cancer. Here we go. Leo. We got the breakfast martini. Excuse me. The fortune teller. The cosmopolitan bitch. If I ain't Carrie Bradshaw, like I don't want it. So what I loved about this book and your second one is it's untraditional. It's not like a sit down, read a novel, like most book deals are. And my book is like that. My book is a workbook. So is your third book a more traditional route? Are we getting more of you or are we getting, what are we getting in the format?
So it is actually divided into 7 sections, primarily. There's more chapters than that, but the bulk of it are these 7 chapters that address different topics that continue to come up and sort of like I synthesized as the most important topic. So identity, money, relationships, career, intimacy, so like sexual relationships, challenging times, and then intuition. And those 7 core topics are sort of unpacked through stories from my clients, unpacked through personal experiences with them. And then at the end of each chapter, we have 2 different manifestation exercises to help you connect with what that means for you and how, and give you some tools when you're navigating those types of things. Because, you know, what I found, especially when I was doing sort of my due diligence and like reading a lot of like self-help and self-actualization books prior to writing this, is I felt like a lot of them sort of glossed over the fact that life is really fucking hard.
Yeah, no one asked for this.
And like, obviously, like manifesting and like law of attraction and like, you know, living your dreams are like wonderful in theory. Yeah. But if you don't have the tools to navigate them when your life is falling apart, it's kind of bullshit. So I wanted to like address that specifically. I wanted to address the fact that these are tools that you could use, you know, whether you are on the top of your shit and you are like really like killing everything it. Is working or things are crumbling at your feet and you're like, how am I going to get back on track? So that's what the book is sort of structured around.
I love mine is broken up into 3 parts. My second book that I'm actually currently working on is, I think it's going to also be split in, I don't want to reveal too much, but it's going to be split up into sections as well. But I love the idea of a toolkit because that's often how I refer to my book is I'm like, this is just a tool box that you can open up at any time and use one of these things. But I want to hone in more on exactly what you're talking about with manifestation. So I don't even know if we like said it in the beginning, but do you consider yourself, like, what do you consider your title to be?
I mean, I'm definitely an astrologer. I'm definitely an author, but I would say that I'm also a mystic. I would say that that's probably like the overall encompassing theme of my work, you know?
And we've been like getting more and more into this on this podcast. Our audience is a huge fan of the witchy shit. Like we've had my neighbor my old neighbor who's a witch on. We've had Maddie Murphy from the Cosmic RX. Like we're getting so much more into this, implementing it into our daily lives. And it doesn't feel crazy anymore. It feels so baked into like millennial and Gen Z's routines, whether it be like checking CoStar in the morning or like popping up a manifestation journal or just journaling in general. Like I think y'all's like sector of work is needed and wanted now more than ever. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I mean, and I felt that a few years ago. I was like, wow, astrology is huge. And that was in 2016. And I felt that in 2014 and I felt that in 2013 and like I felt that in 2011. Like it's just wow. it keeps building and it keeps growing. And I think it's really beautiful. I think that it's a really cool thing because ultimately it is obviously, you know, you have astrology memes and those are fun.
Yeah.
And we love to like, you know, we love to call out our stereotypes. But for those who want to take it to the next level, which I think is really what's happening, is that people are interested in going beyond just the memes, going beyond the horoscope and being like, but how could this actually be a tool for wellness, for spiritual, mental wellness?
Yes.
And I think that a, you know, a more honest society, a more honest consciousness, a consciousness that is not afraid to like embrace its truth and embrace its totality is like, I want to fuck with that place.
And, you know, I'm finding it to be like another piece of how I communicate with people. Like I find myself asking people what their signs are after like meeting them for 5 minutes. And like with my partner, who's not really so into this, whatever you want to call it. I tell him, and this is what kind of like turned him onto it being like, okay, fine. Is that it's another way of facilitating communication. So if I know he's being such a fucking Libra, like I will like bake that into my thought process before I go fucking Leo off at him, which I know Leo and Libra are like the best combo of love. So it can get, it complements really well. Like this study complements our relationship really well. And so that's how I was kind of able to turn him into it a little bit, where I'm like, it's just like the Myers-Briggs. It's just like your fucking, what are the other personality tests or whatever. But there's so much more, exactly what you're saying. There's so much more than just like your zodiac sign and your identity. Like I've identified as a Leo from the day I was born. You could look up Leo in the dictionary. There would be my photo. Had that from like day one. But there's all this other shit. And I say shit, but I mean like beautiful shit that's involved with this work, like manifesting, like moon relationships, like abundance work, like boundaries. I'm learning so much through this lens of understanding, and it feels so emotional. I don't know if like you can touch on what are kind of like these branches off of astrology that people can use that aren't just like the memes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that 100, well, first of all, I'm a Leo too. So Leo to Leo.
Leo to Leo.
It's almost our birthday season.
Amen, sis. Finally. We're in Cancer season right now, but I think when this comes out, when does Leo season start?
End of July.
Ooh, we might be just going into Leo season. So this is great for us.
Well, I just made a video that like, that was like sort of a call to Leo and being like, this is only for Leos. If you're not a Leo, don't watch this. And then the video was basically being like, okay, bitches, what are we doing for our birthday?
Yes.
And I was talking with my partner about how obnoxiously Leo it is, because we are like literally in Cancer season. Like we are not in Leo season. So the fact that it's like, I'm just like bypassing 3 weeks of Cancer season, be like, okay, Leos, listen the fuck up. It is our season.
It's actually Leo season. It's
our pregame.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that we're on the same fucking wavelength, bitch. But like, seriously, we should chat afterwards, like, what are we doing for our birthdays? But anyway.
What are we doing for our birthdays?
Yes, so there are those branches.
Yes, and I think when you're a Leo and when you're certain signs, you do get a lot of feedback from a very young age about like, oh, you love to perform or you like to be at the center of attention, or, you know, if you're a Cancer or a Scorpio or a water sign, like, oh, you're so moody, emotional, intuitive. But for me, you know, just sort of, yes, there were a lot of things that as a Leo I identified with.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were a lot of things where I was like, but that's not fully it. You know, that's really not the full picture. Because a lot of what I would read about Leo was sort of like, wants to be the center of attention no matter what.
Yeah.
And like, I don't feel that way. I'm super fucking sensitive. So like, if I find that somebody else needs to be sort of spotlighted, like, I'm like happy to pass, you know? Mm. I'm also like pretty stern. Like, I'm pretty serious. And when I found my birth chart 10 years ago, and I saw that I was a Capricorn rising, that I'm a Pisces moon, and I started to understand the dimensionality, not just to myself, but that astrology offers, it allowed me to start being comfortable being more whole and being right. more myself. Because right. my big struggle and what I really outline in the book, the upcoming book, is how fragmented my life was. Mm. I felt like I was living many different lives and many different truths. And it yes. felt very hard to sort of find the common thread mm. that anchored everything that I am and mm. was. And I found that through astrology. I found mm-hmm. the ability to like be very extra, very Leo, and also be extremely intuitive, very yeah. sensitive, Pisces moon, hardworking, Capricorn. Stern, rigid, Capricorn yeah. rising, like all of these things that might seem almost contradictory mm-hmm. coexist in me. Wow. And when I started to learn how to work with that and embrace that, and then over the time, as I continued to study and I started to build up a client practice and, you know, wow. grow as a practitioner,
yeah.
I started to apply those techniques to the people that I was working with. And then for this book, I wanted to be like, okay, well, now how
everyone.
Do I? Yeah, everyone. Everyone now.
Everyone,
like,
come on.
Exactly. And that's, I think that that's really how, at least yeah. for me, how it unfolded as a tool mm-hmm. to make sure, to really hold me accountable to telling the truth, to telling mm. my truth, to doing the things that are honest to me, and to not being afraid of being who I am.
I love that. And just so you know, when you were talking about being sensitive, I'm a Gemini moon and rising. So
oh,
God
wow.
God bless my fucking partner. Really just pride and emotion.
How was the Gemini season eclipses for you? Was it crazy?
Bitch, when I tell you the rules of threes, I didn't really talk about it on the podcast, but my father almost died.
Oh my God.
He's fine now. It was like a freak accident. We got robbed and we had to move in 2 weeks and find a place. And then the day we were supposed to move, we got stuck in New York City. Our flight got grounded and we had to stay overnight. So I had to cancel our moving day and move it. The rules of three. That was all during the eclipse.
Oh, shit.
When I tell you I lived through it, honey, I was just waiting to come out the other side with a big breath of fresh air. But I actually I used these practices to get through it. I have my little manifestation texts that come in every day that remind me my mantra work that I was able to tap into. I 100% believe that I am a different and better person because of the star work that I'm tapping and leaning into. But I will say when you started to talk, I was like, yes. Okay. So I feel like everyone gets past the memes and they're now I'm looking more into rising and moon. I feel like that's the next level of it. And then I remember reading in your second book about your intro of how you got into this work. And I started to kind of read of the history. And then we start to go into the houses and then I get completely lost. There is a lot, it feels like math, but it's not math. And it feels like that equation where all the numbers are dancing around. And I'm okay, I know my birth chart. I got it tattooed on my arm. I have an astrologer who's based out of Lisbon that I connected with on a European vacation once. And it was we have our readings every now and then, but I want to know more. I want to get into that next level of it. So for people out there who do want, what do you recommend to level up our game?
So back in 2019, also a pre-COVID thing, I started a virtual community called the Constellation Club.
Yeah.
And it has been, it was, tank, right? There are no coincidences. We started building the infrastructure and a platform for a virtual community before the entire world became virtual.
Yes.
Which was awesome because then when everything was on our computers and our phones and that it was our social life.
Yeah.
It wasn't just an extension of our social life. It became our social life.
Right.
There was already a platform was set up that,
and
a community that supported it. So the Constellation Club has grown. We have over 1,200 members from
crazy.
All around the world.
Congrats.
Yeah, it is crazy.
That's amazing.
It's crazy because it's just, to me, what's super cool is that we have so many people from so many different backgrounds, from so many different places on this beautiful planet. And we're all connecting under the auspices of astrology, compassion, curiosity, wanting to create a safe space to learn and discover and to explore. And to me, it's when we had 30 members, I was I can't believe there's 30 people who like this, that's so cool. That's so cool.
Look at that glow up.
Yeah, that there's 30 people who want to be in community together.
Yeah.
And you know, as we continue to grow, we've also been able to start to release even more resources. Mm. So, you know, we do podcasts that are exclusive for the community. We have videos that are exclusive for the community. Mm. We have these like 40 page deep, in-depth PDF guidebooks about astrology.
I think I got one.
Yeah, we have them on astrology. We have them on numerology. We have them on crystals. We have them on tarot. So like anything that you're like, I'm kind of curious about this. And we have two membership levels, and the first one is $5. So it's I wanted to make something super affordable so that people could just come in and know that they're getting like really solid quality information through sort of a trustworthy community. And I think I'm a trustworthy practitioner.
I approve, confidants, just so you know, all links below have been approved by me.
Perfect. That is the verification I needed.
There you go. And then there's a second tier to the membership, right? Is that like a little more intense?
Well, the second tier is $20. So it's not really that, you know, I would say that it's not like a major, there are cocktails that are more expensive.
Right. Yeah. In New York City, yes. And Los Angeles.
You have access to our bi-monthly coven meetings. So we are going to be doing one actually at the time of this recording. We have our coven meeting for the new moon in Cancer tonight. Yeah. So we always do a manifestation ritual. I interface with different members of the community, see how you're doing, how's this moon treating you, this new moon, this full moon, whatever. And it's like kind of, you know, it's our touch point where we check in. Some of the members have been there since 2019. So it's been almost 2 years and we've grown together. Aww. We are sort of, we know each other's narratives. We know what we're all going through. And yeah, it's a very sacred space.
I love that because, you know, like for me, I thought getting better at astrology was getting better. Oh my gosh, hold on. Not to like completely time out, but I feel like this is an important thing to say on the podcast.
Yes.
So I moved, right? And there is, my office looks directly into my next door neighbor's bedroom / outdoor area. And I've been watching him because he is so attractive. And I can't figure out if he's European or gay because he's so stylish. Like, there's no way a straight American dude looks this cool. And for the first time now, he's sitting outside drinking a cup of coffee and looks like meditating. And
wow. I'm not
confidants, sober girlies. Are you looking to cut back or cut out alcohol this year? Come on, join me and Zach on our sober journeys. Recess Zero Proof craft mocktails are the perfect alcohol replacement. We've recreated the cocktails you know and love, like a lime margarita and a grapefruit paloma, so you can enjoy the flavors and feelings of those cocktails without the booze. That's right, zero proof, zero compromise. Listeners can get 15% off the Recess mocktail sampler at takearecess.com/Kelsey. Each can is lightly sparkling mocktail infused with functional ingredients like so many stress balancing adaptogens made with real fruit and only 25 calories or less. It's a guilt-free way to unwind. Whether you're relaxing after work or hanging out with friends, make Recess mocktails your drink between drinks or, like me, your forever mocktail. I am so obsessed with the ginger lime mule and also the grapefruit paloma for spring. It's my favorite go-to weekend drink. Get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/Kelsey so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I need to just name that because I feel like this is going to be like a thing on the podcast where I'm constantly like always working from right here where he's so fine, like so hot.
Wow.
I'm in an open relationship because I have my boyfriend right here outside on the patio also meditating. And this guy, I have two meditating hot dudes in my vision.
Whoa.
And I feel like this is crazy.
Well, that's on Gemini life, right?
Hey, bitch. bitch. And then when you were talking about crystals, I don't know if you can see this, but all of a sudden, as soon as we started talking, my crystal necklace started like twirling up. And
really?
Like,
thought,
like this is never like this. Like it started to kink and like get weird. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I was picking at it. I was hoping you weren't noticing. Like I wasn't trying to be rude, but I was like, why all of a sudden is this like kinking? It was very strange.
Ooh.
Very spooky. Ooh. Okay. Time in, time back in, back to what I was saying. Thank you for letting me go on that tangent. My Adderall has not kicked in yet. I always thought the next level up of being good at astrology was knowing how to identify someone's zodiac sign when I meet them. Because no. Right now I'm like, you must be a Cancer. And they're like, Aquarius, like something so not even close where I'm like, oh, I'm not getting better at this. And then I was like, wait, am I supposed to be an expert in all the signs? I feel like that's a thing where people want you to know how to read each sign really well. Is that like, can we skip that and just focus on ourselves and go into the community and work on the manifestation?
Yeah, I mean, fuck yeah. Like if somebody asked me to guess their sign, it's a no.
It's a Leo me. Because you're so obsessed with yourself.
Well, has to be. No, I mean, it's dumb to guess people's signs. Mm. The reason is because some people are going to give you a lot of solar energy. Some people are going to give you a lot of lunar energy. Some people are going to give you their rising sign. Like it depends. Right. It really depends on who that
you're
person
multifaceted,
is. Yes. Like and how they relate to their chart. Yes. So like the person who you're guessing Cancer and is like Aquarius, like that their moon could be Aquarius. Their rising could be Aquarius.
And they might not even know.
Exactly.
They might not even know your shit.
And then you're just going to feel like, oh, I don't know anything. I'm dumb. But really it's like, no, it's just that's one facet of a much bigger puzzle, you know?
Yes. And that's what I want the confidants to hear with this is like the way you've built a community. And I think that's like number one for me is like finding your people that like you can connect with because I am ingesting this stuff on the regs, but it's very like by myself. Like I'm doing the journaling work. Like I do the mantras every single day, but I want to find my people and I want to find my coven or my, you know, crew. And I feel like that's important for people to know is like that exists, that's out there in multitudes of ways. Like just go to fucking Instagram or TikTok and you'll find like sound bath healing centers on Echo Park at 11 a.m. every Sunday or whatever. But I feel like how do you know when you've found like the right maybe teacher or guide or community? Like how will we know?
Well, you know, I would say that it's intuition, but I don't think that that's fair because I do think that a lot of this work is also building a relationship with your intuition. We can't assume that everyone has a very healthy and fine-tuned intuition because intuition and anxiety often develop simultaneously in tandem. Intuition. intuition is a sorry, there's a siren. I don't know if you can
see,
hear it.
See, I wouldn't have even noticed, but that's New York.
You
that's
will.
New York City, baby.
That's New York City. Yeah. Sorry, there's a pizza flying at my window right now.
Pizza rat just like, window.
Truly. I don't know if you're probably going to be able to hear it in a second because it's going to come whirling down the street.
I think your voice is like covering it.
Beautiful. Okay, it stopped also.
There we go.
So I would say, so not intuition because, you know, one of the things that I feel is something that we need to always be working on is intuition.
Can you talk more about that?
Sure. Yeah. So like intuition and, you know, let's say intuition, highly sensitive people. And then I often refer to these people as also psychic, right? Which I found through this work is like, that's where people are like, whoa. Yeah, I'm not psychic. Yeah. I'm extremely intuitive and I could read people's minds, but I'm not psychic. And it's like, what's the problem here?
I think that's me. I think I'm highly sensitive and like maybe a little psyche.
Yeah. I mean, being psychic is I know that there is definitely a lot of stigma around it. I think because we associate for some reason like psychics and fortune tellers with like con artists, but those aren't fortune tellers. Right. Those are just con artists. Like the point is frauds. That you could be a con artist in any field, in any industry.
Right.
But, you know, being psychic is really just having extrasensory abilities that give you information beyond the five senses that exist in the physical world.
Oh my God. Can so I give you an example of something spoopy that happened? I didn't mean to cut you off, but like this is what solidified my idea of that. I think I'm a little bit psyche. We were staying at an Airbnb for a wedding a couple weeks ago and I just felt off. Like, as soon as I got in there, I just felt very off. I didn't like it. I couldn't like stay in any of the bedrooms. And we were with a group of people. So there was like six of us. And I like couldn't settle. And I like definitely didn't want to sleep in this one room. And I just felt weird the whole time. So I like texted my witch friend. She's like, just keep following that. Like, just keep leaning into it. And I was like, fine. So I went around the house and I found a couple bits of information that I learned about the owner. And I was like, okay, maybe it's something about the owner that's like upsetting or creepy. And I kept Googling him and finding out more and more. And then I found out that he had a son who died by suicide in the house. And I literally, like, before I found that information out, I told the group, I was like, I don't want to be weird. You guys might think I'm like fucking crazy, but like, I feel like something really bad happened here, but not bad in a way that was like done to something. It feels like just something bad and tragic happened here. And like, he's not telling us that he's not like haunting us, but I feel like someone is fucking with us, like toying around with us. And essentially, like, then we found out that the son died by suicide in that house. And I felt like the kid was fucking with us, being like, my parents Airbnb out my house that like my childhood bedroom is in. What the fuck? And like, then we found out that information and I was like, drop the mic. I'm walking away. Like, I get chills just even thinking about it because
oh my God.
Fucking felt that shit. And I was like, all right, bitch, I need to lean into this shit more. So sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I had to tell you that like intuition story that you're talking about.
Okay. So you're fully psychic. Like, there's just no, that's like, there should be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Yeah. Like, that's no question.
Crazy. And it felt crazy.
Yeah. So you were able to be in an environment and use senses beyond the five to receive information and to have an experience. And that is simply what it is.
I'm like getting chills on the back of my neck and like head right now, even just like listening to you talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very intense experience, but I would say, you know, tank, there are no coincidences. So what that also means is that you need to keep moving with that.
Yes.
You know, you have the ability to pick up on those types of energies and those types of narratives. So like the fact that you even had that experience is indication of the fact that you need to be continuing to work with it.
So like all the confidants listening out here, if you've had any like witchy experiences and you're looking for community, this is your sign to like move forward into that. And so before I so rudely cut you off, you were talking about like what else we can use to know to find the community that like feels right for us.
Yes. So I would say that, you know, coming into a space where you feel comfortable being yourself in whatever version of that looks like and wherever you are, you know, like one of the things in the Constellation Club and one of the reasons that I think it is a safe community for people is that it is an environment where people can sort of be like, hey, I had this like weird dream. Can anyone help me interpret it? And people are like, me, let me help. Right. And like, that's so cool because oftentimes we might be embarrassed or trepidatious or be like, I don't want to like, I don't want to put this in the group chat, you know, like this feels uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I would say that finding community is really about like finding a place where you feel like you can express yourself as you need to express yourself and be supported in that process.
And it sounds a little bit like therapy because like even just you asking about how the eclipse went for me and it was obviously insane and me being able to talk about like the three, you know, I was like, oh my God, it comes in threes. We're waiting for the last shoe to drop. Like being able to talk to you about that or like, you know, someone in my life who understands like we're going through an eclipse and things are going to be really intense. Like it feels therapeutic. And do you think of this as like a modality in like therapy at all?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that it's therapeutic. Absolutely. And I think that we are attending to mental health. And I think that I think that mental health and spiritual health coexist. 100%. But, you know, I'm still at this time in 2021, I don't think that the greater collective society has been able to appreciate, you know, non-social sciences, you know, like this is definitely an art, but it is also a therapeutic art. And it also is an art that speaks to mental and spiritual well-being.
Right.
But, you know, it's interesting because we as astrologers, we in sort of like the spiritual community are always encouraging our clients to go to therapy and to go to, you know, to to use like the more traditional modalities to continue to enhance their lives however they need to. But I don't think the same. I don't think it goes both ways.
Right.
There's not a lot of reciprocity from the other side. I don't think that therapists are often telling their clients, their patients, to like go to an astrologer.
Oh my gosh.
I think that they coexist. I think that they are really important.
Yes. So I'm actually looking for a new therapist. I advertise BetterHelp on the platform. I always talk about it. The confidants know I'm obsessed. There's probably going to be an ad in this episode for it. But my therapist left BetterHelp to open up her own physical practice. And so she was like, I think it's time you find a new therapist. And so funny you mentioned that, because on my list of like what I'm going to ask them or like what to interview new therapists, one of my questions is, are you spiritual? Do you believe in the stars? And like on top of what books are you reading, or like, do you go to therapy? But for me, I feel like I need a therapist who isn't going to roll their eyes when I say like, we're going into retrograde, like things are about to get crazy. And I'm finding that that's starting to exist in the younger generation. Like, I do feel like I'm seeing more of us be in touch with that. Is there like a reason, like my parents don't read their their zodiac, you know, signs every day? Like, is there a reason why it's so hot and popping with us?
They may have at a certain point. You know, I think that there were, you know, in the sort of last 50 years of astrology, there were some really interesting things, you know, like in the 60s and 70s, it was obviously like extremely popular.
Yeah.
And we didn't have social media, so it was popular. It was in magazines. There were like a lot of zines.
Yeah.
There was definitely like brands that were like using zodiacs to sell their products, just like today.
Wow.
And then in the 80s, Nancy Reagan hired Joan Quigley as an astrologer on government payroll. I'm obsessed with Joan Quigley.
That's so cool.
It is so cool. But I think that on a collective level, I think that that made people be very, I mean, first of all, the Reagans are like not cool, right?
I was going to say, don't we hate her, them?
Reagans are like really not
cool.
But that's a pretty
cool
thing
she did.
It's a cool thing she did. So it's kind of confusing, right? And then it's like, should someone be on government payroll who's an astrologer? Like, what are the ethics of that? Like, that's kind of strange, or is it? But like, I think it was just honestly confusing for people. I think that it made astrology and like whether or not astrology was cool or if it was yuppie, because Reagans were like the yuppie, the symbol of yuppieism.
Yes. yuppieism, I love that.
And then I think that there was sort of a, you know, I think that the pendulum swung backwards. Mm-hmm. But in the 90s, when I was a kid, when I was growing up, I mean, there was still like all, like I would get like my little zodiac wristlet and I would get like, like all of my journals were like, what sign are you? So like there was astrology stuff, but I really think that what took it to the next level was social media.
Yes.
I think that social media was the catalyst for disseminating this information and reaching a lot of people who wouldn't have necessarily been exposed to it otherwise.
Right. So I feel like we've like talked only for 5 minutes, but it's been 45. I cannot believe it.
I don't know how that's possible.
I say this every episode. I'm just like, this goes by so fast because everyone's so fantastic to listen and talk to. But I do want to give the confidants a little bit of like heads up for Leo season, like what we do have to come. If you have any information to relay to us, I would like, I think this is probably going to come out not next week, but the week after. So do you have any information to communicate about what we've got coming up for Leo season? And that's just selfishly me asking too.
Well, first of all, when is your birthday?
August 16th.
I'm August 18th.
My mom's August 19th. I'm going to write it in my calendar for you.
Oh my gosh. 18th. Oh my God. She's doing it right now.
Yes. Oh, your birthday's on a Wednesday this year. I'm going to be
on
in Croatia for your birthday.
Oh.
I'll celebrate for you.
Thank you. Are you going to be in Croatia for your birthday?
I'm going to be in Amsterdam for my birthday.
Oh, cool.
And confidants, I might do an episode about this, but I'm going to maybe do a mushroom trip. And I've never really like done a full dose mushroom trip in my life. And I'm thinking maybe for my birthday, that might be like a fun thing to do in Amsterdam, potentially.
Potentially, or it could be a disaster. But or either way, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like extremes either way.
Extreme. Yes.
Yeah.
So we'll see. That'll be another episode. But yes, I would love to know what we've got coming up.
So in addition to our birthdays,
yes.
Which like obviously are national holidays.
Yes, put it in your calendars.
It should already be in your calendar, to be honest. Year, it should be already like inserted through Gmail.
Yeah.
We have two full moons in Aquarius this Leo season. So this is really, really cool because usually there's only one full moon per zodiac sign. But in Leo season, we have at the very beginning of Leo season, I know, July 23rd. And then on August 22nd, we have two full moons in Aquarius.
Wow.
So that second full moon is actually a blue moon. That is what is referred to as a blue moon.
Blue moon and the beer. That's all I know about blue moon.
That's all you – well, that's actually not all you need to know. What you need to know about it is that this is going to be sort of like – Leo season in and of itself is going to be sort of a container. There's going to be an entire – because I like to think of astrology very much as within narrative, you know? Like it's a cycle, so we go through a story. So Leo season – in a way that is sort of more pronounced than other years, is actually its own, you know, container where it has its own beginning and then it has a storyline and then it concludes. So we have two sort of like bookends.
Yeah.
So setting intentions for the first full moon in Aquarius in July and then tracking those, you know, using the new moon in Leo as kind of like your that's kind of like your milestone, your check-in point, and then coming back around to the final full moon in Aquarius to see what has changed. Wow. So I'm going to be really encouraging people to be like, okay, what is something that you can accomplish, achieve, feel like there is a 28-day resolution around?
Ooh.
And because Leo season is like such a sort of neatly packaged little gift with a bow, and it's like disco themed because it's fucking Leo, so it's perfect.
Bitch, I want to put a disco ball in my backyard.
I have one literally up right here in my apartment.
Okay, see, this is too funny. So, you know, you said to set intentions for the full moon, and I always wondered, like, does that just look like me in my backyard shouting at the full moon? Like, how do I take most advantage of like what a full moon practice looks like?
So I like to say that new moons are like the inhale and full moons are the exhale of our manifestation practice. So generally speaking, we are planting seeds, setting intentions, making wish lists during the new moon. And then during the full moon, we are letting go of what is not serving us. We are releasing. We are purging. We are, because we have this visibility, you know, we have the illumination of the moon, so we can really see everything clearly. I like to say also that, you know, werewolves aren't just there on the full moon. It's only that we can see them during the full moon. They're there 24/7.
I love that.
But during the full moon, we could be like, oh my gosh, like I'm self-sabotaging, or like this person sucks, or like I hate my fucking job in a way that we may not be able to have that exposure to if it wasn't for the full moon.
That's really good to know. I feel like I haven't heard it put that way, with the breath in and the breath out. And so I'm going to be looking forward to like letting go. I like that. And I love containers because that gives me an end goal or like a way to put routine. So I'd love to hear from the confidants. Maybe leave a comment below, like, what 28-day thing can we do together? What are you guys going to do for this little contained piece of our year?
Yes. I would love – and in the Constellation Club, we have this manifestation accountability group, so we can like work together. But beyond that, even if you are working with – in whatever community you're working with, whether it's a community of fellow podcast listeners or a community of you and your best friend or just like a community of yourself.
Yes.
Which I don't know if it's a community, but fuck yeah, it's a community. Yeah. Why not? I would say like really using the calendar, the lunar calendar to track is – the most amazing thing that you can do because it changes the way that you experience time. Rather than seeing time like, oh, it's July, or like, oh, it's the summer, it's like, oh, within a 28-day cycle, a lot can change. There's a lot that can happen.
Yes.
There's a lot of growth potential.
Right.
So it's like breaking it into those pieces actually makes it much more accessible to be able to set manifestations and set intentions and do all of that magical work.
I love seeing the year differently. Like instead of months, you're looking at moons. And I have like a moon calendar somewhere in my closet.
You are a full-blown witch. I mean, that's just...
I'm telling you. But I also don't want to feel like a fraud. Like, I have these things, but I need to, like... I'm getting deeper into it. So I don't feel like a fraud. I'm on my journey, which I feel really, really solid about.
Who isn't?
Bitch, I love you. You're amazing. Aliza Kelly, where can the confidants find you? Give us all your info, please.
So I am Aliza Kelly everywhere. A-L-I-Z-A-K-E-L-L-Y. So that's on Instagram, on Twitter, on TikTok. It's on .com. I'm on the internet.
She's out
I'm
here.
A person of the internet. Yeah.
And definitely check out. Do we know when the book is out?
Yes. Its launch date is September 21st.
Oh my
gosh. And if you know that Earth, Wind and Fire song, which also like astrology, Earth, Wind and Fire. Do you remember the 21st night of September?
There you go.
That is a fucking tank. I had no idea. That was coincidence.
We love to see it. We love to see it. We can't wait for the book. I am going to go. Can we pre-order? Is it pre-order?
Please, please pre-order.
Okay. Is it like Amazon? Links will be below kind of thing?
Absolutely.
Amazing. Well, Lisa, thanks so much, confidant. Don't forget to check out all the links below. Don't forget to rate this podcast 5 stars. If it's less than 5 stars, don't rate it at all because I'm sensitive. Speaking of being sensitive, the merch is out. You can get that on my website or on Thought Catalog. And while you're there, why don't you pick up a book for you or your friend? And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.